Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
Get up to 30% off wedding jewelry at BlueNile.com and remember the joy of your wedding day forever. Blue Nile offers everything from diamond and lab-grown diamond wedding bands to classic pearls, earrings you can design yourself, even gorgeous sapphire pieces for your something blue. Whatever you choose, Blue Nile's pieces are all graded for excellence for a lasting memento as brilliant as the love that inspired it. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the WWE NXT post-show heading into Battleground this Sunday. It is June 4th, everyone, and we got a pretty interesting show to talk about. At that today's episode of NXT was really good. It capitalized off of the buzz that it got last week very nicely, and it also hyped me up a whole lot for Battleground. So can I just say, I am so excited that right now NXT is getting so much attention. Last week's episode of here that we talked about for NXT was one of my most watched NXT podcasts of all time. And then on top of that, the clips that I cut from that show were also some of my highest watched clips of all time for the podcast stuff that I've posted on here. So it's very exciting to see that people care right now about what's going on NXT, and that they're getting people talking about the brand. They're getting maybe even some new eyeballs, which is good, because I saw a lot of people saying like, damn, looks like I got to start watching NXT now. And that makes me happy. And it makes me happy because as a person who tunes in and covers the show on a weekly basis, the more interest, the more eyeballs that there is on NXT, then, you know, that's going to help the coverage that people put out there, because more people are going to be interested in listening to the podcast. More people are going to be interested in just, you know, the overall topic. And so right now, NXT is cooking. I don't know how many of you guys saw that Shawn Michaels even changed his default to a picture of him, like with the chef clothes with the little fire in the back to signify that he's cooking. So I'm really excited to get into today's episode, because there were some really good stuff, especially the ending of NXT. I'm so excited to talk about that. Before I get into everything that went down on NXT, just a friendly reminder that this Sunday I will be here on the channel right after Battleground. I'm going to be doing a post show. I was going to go to the Apex in Las Vegas, because you guys know it's a really quick 3-hour drive for me, but I decided not to, because if I go to the show, I won't be able to do a post show right afterwards, and they're not doing any on-site media after the show, so I don't really need to be there. But I am, as of right now, I am scheduled to do some interviews, or at least one interview on Saturday that I cannot wait, so keep an eye out for that. I have an interview on Saturday right before Collision, and so I'm going to try to get that posted before Collision with someone from NXT, and I think you guys will be really excited for that interview when it actually drops. And that's pretty much that on the NXT side of things, but I also dropped a new video, which is doing pretty good right now. I did a little fantasy booking video where I fantasy booked TNA and NXT matches together. So I basically put like a little card together of the matches that I think would be pretty cool to see if they do decide to do like a Worlds Collide type of show. Again, we still don't really have very many details on what's going on with NXT and with TNA. As of right now, it looks like just a Jordynne Grace thing, but who knows? Jordynne Grace may or may have not given us a little bit of an Easter egg, which we'll talk about in just a second, but there is that possibility that we could be seeing them work together in a different type of capacity, more in a Forbidden Door type of capacity. So we will get to that in a second. But either way, if you want to watch that video, that is up right now on the channel. But let's get to it. Let's talk some NXT. So I'm going to kick things off first and foremost. Shout out to Sheldon Jackson for gifting 5 DWO memberships. We also got Matt Logan here who sends in a very generous super chat saying, big fan of Ethan Page. There has to be some type of DQ or non-finish on Sunday. You don't sign Ethan Page and have him lose in his first match. Matt Logan was so passionate about that. He said that 2 times. I love that. I don't know if you wanted to emphasize that he couldn't lose in his first match or if that was a typo, but either way, it's actually pretty hilarious. Matt Logan, we'll get to that in just a second. Thank you so much for the super chat. Sheldon Jackson says, Denise, now I understand how different it is to watch wrestling on in the West Coast, especially in Cali, and still have your whole evening ahead of you. Dude, are you in the West Coast? Are you in California? Where are you, my friend? Let me know in the comments here, because if you are, you are experiencing the loveliness of West Coast wrestling hours, man. There are times, for example, like if I wasn't doing a post show, I would be done by 7 o'clock. Even then, 8 o'clock, I'm done with the post shows and I'm good to go. You know, you can still have a life. I remember when I went to Dynamite this last Wednesday that it was here at the Kia Forum. I came out and it was still light out. Like I could go and enjoy my day. In fact, I still ended up hanging out right after the show, had Taco Bell. That was literally after the post show. So let me get this straight. Let me straighten this out. I went to Dynamite. I hung out after Dynamite, came home, did the post show, and still hung out after the post show. And I did all of that because, again, West Coast hours, baby. All right, we got Jay Stone here who says the Battleground card is stacked. It could be a sneak for top PLEs of the year. Just a few tweaks and additions in a short time got NXT hot again. Sometimes I worry because I worry about when things get hot, when things are not hot. And right now, seeing NXT again get so much buzz, all of a sudden become newsworthy, I feel like it's given me hope that, you know, we can turn it around for all programs. Like the hotter wrestling is, the better it is for the fans that are watching. And then speaking from a creator's perspective, a lot better for the creators as well. But Jay Stone, thank you so much for that super chat. I appreciate it, my friend. And Sheldon Jackson is in Anaheim, bro. You're literally not that far from me. Anaheim, I know Anaheim. That's my hood, man. Well, my former hood. I went to school in Fullerton. So I know Anaheim very well because I went to Cal State Fullerton. And then I also sporadically go to Disneyland. So I do know Anaheim pretty well. All right. So let's get to it. I want to go ahead and kick things off with the Jordynne Grace stuff, and then we'll morph into the Ethan Page stuff. But I want to start off with the Jordynne Grace situation because we sort of had a lot here. And that was my favorite thing that happened last week, seeing Jordynne Grace come out and be the person that is going to go on to face Roxanne Perez at Battleground. Again, a real huge thing. And immediately they announced that she would be having a match against Stevie Turner here today on NXT. Now, this match was really freaking fun. And of course, we don't get to see Stevie Turner wrestle often on the show, but I do want to start off by applauding Stevie Turner because I thought she did a real fine job today. Again, she's not someone we see wrestle often, but she went out there and she did her job. She did everything the way she was supposed to. Jordynne looked phenomenal every time she was doing anything to Stevie Turner. And Stevie Turner was simply there taking a beating, but whenever she had to implement the beating on Jordynne, it came across as it looked good, is what I'm saying. So I do want to start off by, you know, giving a little bit of a round of applause to Stevie Turner, because when you are in a match that has a lot of attention, you're going to have that extra pressure. And considering that she may not be used to these type of high pressure matches, this may have been her most high pressure match she's had on NXT. You've got to give her, a salute for that. Now, Jordynne Grace, man, I mean, everyone here knows how she wrestles. I don't have to tell you how she wrestles. You guys have seen her. You've seen the way that she moves. You've seen the way that she looks. And she did just that in this match. I mean, absolutely everything she did was cool. I mean, there was a moment at the top of this match that Stevie Turner got a little feisty and slapped Jordynne Grace and did so in a very disrespectful way. Although When is it respectful to slap anybody? I can't think of a respectful slap. Can you imagine a slap being respectful? Unless, however, sometimes in movies or TV shows, you see someone slap a character, but it's to get them out of, like, maybe they're losing their shit, maybe they're going crazy, and then someone slaps you so that you can get your shit together. That is probably the only time a slap can ever not even be respectful, but be tolerated, I guess. Whatever. The point is, she slaps her in a very disrespectful way. And Jordy Grace gets her back, but gets her back with a slap that was like 100 times harder. And so it was little things like that that just made it very fun. But of course, she goes in there. She moves differently. She's hitting her suplex looked awesome. Her chops looked awesome. I mean, everything she did. At one point, she's like carrying Stevie Turner on her shoulders like it's no big deal, like she's a stuffed animal. And so the match was a lot of fun. She gets the win. And after this, we end up seeing this confrontation with her and Roxanne. Now, Roxanne was doing commentary the whole night. I like this. I liked that Roxanne was doing commentary because, you know, she was just out there talking her shit. Cool. Roxanne is a heel. She's gotten so much more comfortable as a heel, and she's gotten so much more comfortable just, you know, speaking in a heel manner to the people. So I thought she came across pretty well on commentary as well. Now, the confrontation, they did a really good job of leaving me wanting more. I wanted more. In fact, I was pissed when we didn't get more from this because I wanted to see it. And that just kind of goes to show what the anticipation level is like for this match at Battleground with Jordan and Roxanne. So it was very quick. They get into each other's face. They start talking shit. Roxanne, of course, being the heel, shoves Jordan Grace, but she barely moves her like an inch. And Jordan Grace pushes her so freaking hard that Roxanne just falls to the freaking ground. And immediately you think that Jordan's going to take out Roxanne, but Roxanne manages to escape. And I was like, damn it, damn it, damn it, damn it. I totally wanted to see them just like ball out even more. Like, I wanted to see more of this. But of course, they instead left you with this visual of the two champions standing strong. Now, there's so much more to get into in regards to this. I want to start off with who's going to win this match. Last week, I sat in this very chair in this exact same spot, and I told you guys all why Roxanne Perez was going to win. And I felt 110% sure last week that Roxanne Perez was going to come out victorious at Battleground. Now I'm sitting here a week later, having processed this a little bit more, seeing the fallout of just the Jordan Grace announcement, seeing the fallout, seeing just the overall buzz on social media, seeing the numbers on videos that included Jordan Grace. And now I'm sitting here thinking, I'm not feeling so confident that Roxanne Perez is going to walk out champion. Now, I'm literally stumped right now. You're seeing what you're seeing right now. The little hamster in my head is freaking running so fast on that wheel, trying to think of what the heck is going to happen, because I legitimately feel conflicted. Because how many times haven't I sat here and talked about the first Roxanne Perez NXT Women's Championship reign that we sort of got screwed out of, right? And we were all like, man, that reign sucked. They should have done more. Why'd they have to end it the way that they did? That's literally what we were saying for the longest time. And now she's finally champion once again. And we're like, yeah, we're finally going to get the reign that we've always wanted from Roxanne Perez. This is so cool. And now she has this competitor where you're like, oh, damn. If Jordan Grace wins, one, it's going to be shocking. Two, all of a sudden people are going to be like, what does this mean? She is not a WWE signed talent. She is a TNA talent. What does this mean? And so instantly it just changes things. And then on the same time, you're like, damn, poor Roxanne, you know, like we wanted to see her reign develop into something. And so that's why I'm sitting here conflicted. Like, part of me, I'm good with either outcome, because we all know if Roxanne defeats Jordan Grace, that is a big time win for her. That is going to put her as on another level as the NXT Women's Champion. All of a sudden, if she defeats Jordynne Grace, nobody else is on Roxanne's level in that division. And she just is going to look like an almighty champion. She's going to be like female Gunther on NXT. All right. Now, if Jordynne Grace wins, if she were to shock people and win this match, all of a sudden, there's going to be so much conversation surrounding NXT, more than what you're getting right now. And people are going to, again, be wondering what it means. So the shock value and the newsworthiness of it all would sort of be enough of a reason to have it be Jordynne Grace winning this match. But I just don't know, guys. I just don't know. I see the pros on either side, whether Roxanne takes it or Jordynne takes it. Now, for the sake of predictions, because I know I have to make a choice because, you know, I don't like not making choices, I'm going to still stick with Roxanne Perez winning. And the only reason I say that is because every time I second guess myself, I screw myself. So I'm going to stick with my original gut pick being Roxanne Perez. So I am still expecting Roxanne to retain. So let's see if the good old gut is still on point. We'll find out. Now, the other thing that the Jordynne Grace phenomenon has brought upon us is she came out today wearing on her gear, on the back of it, it said NXTNA. NXTNA. Yeah, I said that right. Sorry, guys. It kind of trips my brain. I always forget if I'm supposed to say TNA first or NXT first, but it's NXTNA. All right. So she comes out there with that NXTNA logo, whatever, the wording on her back. To me, that was an Easter egg. I'm taking that as, there's going to be more? I'm pretty sure there's got to be more, right? Like, they've already started the conversation. I'm out here doing a fantasy booking video. And if you go in the comment section, there's tons of people listing their matches that they would like to see. And some people came up with some really great options. So as you can tell, there is some interest there. There are these matches that people would like to see with TNA talent and NXT talent specifically. So I feel like they've already given us enough to think that, hey, this is not going to be the end with just Jordynne Grace. There might be something a little bit more. And I feel like given that they are going to the CW, I forget when they're going, in a couple of months. Is it October? I think they may be going in October. I forget when they're going to the CW. But later this year or early next year, I forget when, they're going to the CW. And that you're going to want to have an additional layer of interest. This isn't just, oh, NXT is going to the CW. Like, there's already going to be interest because people are going to be like, oh, how different is NXT going to be presented under the CW banner? How is NXT going to change? But then if you sort of have it where all of a sudden there's this partnership and there's these new talents that can get involved and this forbidden door per se is open, it suddenly just makes it a tad bit more appealing. So, again, I'm taking this as an Easter egg that this is not over, that it's not just Jordynne Grace, and we may be getting some additional stuff there with TNA and NXT. And if we're not, then that kind of sucks a little bit, but regardless, we'll take what we can get. There was another thing I wanted to add about this, and now I kind of just forgot, but I'll remember at some point. So let's go ahead and get into some comments here. Oh, also, there was another thing I did want to add about this. We got some really hilarious backstage moments with Jordynne Grace. She had a little reunion with Meechan, Mia Yim, who also was part of TNA. And she also had a little moment with Soruka in which they were both fangirling over each other. And then Ariana Grace, this was the best part because Ariana and her share the exact same last name. So she confronts Jordynne and she's like, I just want to tell you that we have the same last name, but we're not related. And it's so funny because it's so stupid. It's so funny. And Tatum Paxley, as we know, tends to fawn over champions. We saw her long obsession with Lyra Valkyra And the second Lyra lost the title, she was no longer obsessed with her. She loves gold. She loves women who are champions. And so now she's giving the crazy psycho eyes to Jordynne Grace because suddenly there's another champion around. And it's looking like she is starting to get a little obsessed with Jordynne Grace. Now, whether or not we're going to see more of this, who the hell knows? This may have just been a fun little backstage segment where Jordynne Grace meets the freakiest girls of NXT, Ariana Grace and Tatum Paxley, which are freaky, but on opposite ends of this freaky spectrum scale. You know what I'm saying? Because they both kind of freaky. And also, everybody was laughing and making this point that Santino Marella, he's the director of authority at TNA. And so it's kind of funny that, you know, her dad kind of, you know, running things on the kayfabe side of things. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. Anyways, that was pretty fun. But let's get into some of these super chats and see what people are saying about all of this. We got Stephen Marchulli here who says, give me Grace versus Jade someday. Yeah, dude, that's just going to be ridiculous, honestly, like ridiculous. And then we also have, one second, guys, I'm just importing stuff. I'm multitasking at the moment. All right, we got Tim Weininger Jr. who says, I can't wait for Jordynne Grace versus Roxanne on Sunday. Dude, me too. And also, Tim, I want to apologize for not reading your super chat on the last show, which I think was the Collision show. And I want to pull it up here because it was a very generous super chat and also a heartfelt one, which was from Tim saying, hey, Denise, I want to thank you and the Fightful channel with helping me through a tough time. My grandma died on Thursday and the two channels have helped me through it. I messaged Tim privately just to send him some love, but I seriously want to thank you though for coming in constantly and showing support. And I also want to, send you some love because, losing a family member is the worst thing. And it's the worst thing. So I just want to send you some love, Tim, and thank you so much. And I'm happy that you're able to find, you know, some distraction with the silly world of pro wrestling throughout your day. So thank you so much to Tim. We got David Primero here who says it would be crazy if Jordynne Grace wins the NXT women's title and then Roxanne wins the Knockouts title at Against All Odds. That would be mind blowing. Oh my God, I'm like ready to choke to death on that one. Dude, it would be pretty crazy and it would be hilarious actually. And we love shit like that, like weird shit like that, weird little connections. It would be hilarious. And I would not mind that just for the sake of the jokes and the fun that we would have. And again, it would legitimately get an honest to God reaction out of me if Jordynne Grace were to win at Battleground. And again, we're talking that this can be a possibility. And even knowing that this can be a possibility, I will still be shook if, like the young kids say, or I don't even know if they say that anymore. Ooh. I don't think young kids say shook if anymore or shook. Whatever. I would be shook if regardless. Great. Now I just feel pathetic. All right. I would still be shocked if Jordynne Grace were to actually win. Even recognizing that that's a possibility. All right, we got Dream Ninja 77 who says Jordynne Grace and Roxanne Perez has to main event, right? Feels huge. Dude, I originally thought that that was a match that was going to main event, but I think it is going to be Ethan Page and Trick Williams. And I don't hate that. I do not hate that. And we're going to talk about why in just a second, but I think they could go with either or. I'll be real with you. I'm most interested in Jordynne and Roxanne. I would put that as the main event, but I also feel that Trick Williams and Ethan Page can also sure as hell be a main event too. So whatever Shawn Michaels decides to run with, I think he will be good on either end. But truthfully, I think it's Roxanne Jordynne, but at least for me. But I do think they will go with Page and Trick for the actual show. Brandon Rosen says, while we're on the Jordynne Grace topic, what are your thoughts about what's happening in TNA right now? So I know that there's basically a lot of changes behind the scenes where a lot of people were, sort of removed. And I know that they don't have, you know, a full slate of shows that have been announced just yet. And I forget when is the last one that they have announced here on their website. Let me just double check here. I don't know what this means, but it does make me feel like something fishy is happening. So I think they might have just added this one. I don't remember if this one was already on here, but I know they're doing TNA on August in Tampa. Okay, I didn't think that was there before, so they just added that because I think it ended like in July, like there were no more live events announced. But there you go. There's an August one there on the website. So there are a lot of changes happening behind the scenes. Not too long ago, you know, Scott D'Amore was in that whole relationship ended there. And so that should have probably been the biggest sign that there might have been some changes incoming. But then again, like we just don't really know what is going on or what their plan is with TNA and whether or not they're planning to sell the company. I don't know. I legitimately don't know. So I think right now I still have so many more questions before I can even give you an opinion on what I think is going on, because I just have too many questions as to what their plan is with TNA overall. Brandon, thank you so much for that super chat, man. All right, so let's go ahead and continue on from here and let's get into the Ethan Page, Trick Williams stuff, because this is good. This is very, very good. So let's talk about this. So, oh man, where do I begin here? So last week, the big news coming out of the show, aside from the Jordan stuff, was that Ethan Page had came in to NXT and attacked Trick Williams. And that's sort of how he closed out the show. It was a big moment. Everybody was like, oh shit, whatever, right? It was a big moment. Now, the follow-up. I think they did an extraordinary job today on NXT with the follow-up to Ethan Page. And the reason I say that is because coming out of the show, I was thinking, thank goodness. Thank goodness. And I'm emphasizing the eyes, guys, because it was not looking very good for Trick Williams in the sense that he had no real challengers for his NXT championship. And by that, I mean, there wasn't anybody that was so interesting that people here were clamoring for. Like, nobody here really cared to see Trick Williams and Noam Dar. No one really cared to see Trick Williams and Joe Coffey. They didn't want to. Nobody was, I mean, maybe there's probably like one or two people, I'm sure there always is. There always is, right? But it just wasn't interesting stuff. It really was not. And I was sitting here talking about how I just did not care for what they were doing with Trick Williams's NXT championship picture. But then at the same time, I felt bad because there really weren't any alternatives. Like, there were a few, but those people were either in another storyline or they hadn't had enough of a build or whatever the reason was, right? It just was looking very, very slim. And we've talked about how the men's division was sort of starting to feel like it was sinking, like it was completely being overshined by the women's division. We've talked about this so many freaking times. And today, Ethan Page did so much for this title picture. Of course, we're still going to need more dudes because by the time Ethan Page, whether Ethan Page becomes NXT champion or not, you're still going to need more competitors for either champion, all right? Whether it's Trick Williams versus Ethan or Ethan Page, you're still going to need more dudes, more hot challengers, okay? But right now, for this moment in time, we're good with the story that they are going with. So, man, so Ethan Page throughout the night is saying that he is a free agent and Ava is trying to sign him. He has issued her his terms on what he wants in order to become an NXT superstar. Cool. They decide, or rather Ethan Page decides, that he wants to have his contract signing out in the ring. And this sort of irritates Ava because she normally does these contract signings in the back like a professional. And instead, he wants to do it with everybody there. Now, the promo that Ethan Page cut, I also want to give a round of applause because this promo was really freaking good. Very freaking good. I don't even remember the last time I heard Ethan Page cut a promo. It has been so long since I've heard Ethan Page cut a promo. Guys, I was not watching Ring of Honor religiously. In fact, I don't even think I was watching it sporadically. So that should kind of tell you how long it had been since I had heard Ethan Page cut a promo. Whenever his last promo on AEW was, that was the last time I heard it. And if it was on Rampage, I might have missed it. So there you go. But anyways, so he comes out and he cuts a really good promo. He does so much on this. One, he literally brings up the points that you and I have been talking about on this show. He brings up to Ava, you need to sign this contract and you're going to basically honor the terms in this contract because you know you have to. He brings up that when the draft happened, 8 of NXT's top superstars were drafted. For the men's, those top ones were Carmelo Hayes, Ilya Dragunov, Dijak were the main ones for the guys that got called up to the main roster. They were your title scene. That was your, both of those guys, Carmelo and Ilya, were your former NXT World Champions, and they were involved in the main title picture for, God, for a very long time, for several months of NXT. And so now they're gone, and it was pretty much just Trick Williams there in an island of like, all right, let's see who else is there. And so Ethan Page is not lying when he talks about there being a void on NXT and him being the one to want to fill it. He talks about wanting to be the face of NXT for when they go to their new home, the CW. Love that. He's right. He was so right on all of this in that there is a spot to grab right now. There is an opportunity to become the face of NXT. Right now it's Trick Williams, but that needs to be enhanced. And that needs to be enhanced through his reign. And the only way his reign is going to be enhanced is through the challengers and the feuds and the stories that he is telling as NXT champion. So good stuff there from Ethan Page. And then he kind of threw a shot at AEW. And the way, and here's the thing, guys. I love when we see talent from AEW throw shots to WWE. And so WWE to AEW, hey, bring it on. I love the drama, guys. So this is what Ethan Page says. He says, quote, because she, you know, he talks about there being a lot of money on this contract. He says, quote, I could have sat my ass at home for the last 2 years and collected a check, but I ain't about that. Ethan Page wants the opportunity. Simple. Very, very simple. It wasn't like a terrible shot, but you know what? That's just his truth. That is Ethan Page's truth. And so him bringing that up and mentioning that here, I thought, oh. Oh, so it's like we're looking at this through the other side of the lens now. So I thought that was a really cool little line to throw in. Again, I like the drama from either side. I'm here for it. So finally, Trick Williams comes out and he tells Ava, you need to give this man what he wants because I want a chance to whoop his ass. And Ava is still a little hesitant because that would mean he would get a title shot at Battleground. And he's like, Ava, you've known me. Let's freaking do this. And so they're doing it. Battleground. We are getting Ethan Page versus Trick Williams. Now, predictions on this. I'm sort of at a loss here. I feel like this one feels even way more unpredictable than Roxanne Jordan Grace match. Man, I don't want to see Trick Williams lose the title because he just became champion. Like, this is his first major defense as champion. I don't want to see Trick Williams lose because Trick Williams is hot. Like, you guys heard the people. They were cheering for him. They were rooting for him. That building shook when he won the title. So I'm looking at this and going, damn, I don't want it to end so soon, especially not so fast like this. But at the same time, Ethan Page winning would be freaking awesome. It would be freaking awesome. You don't want to see him lose right away. I get that. I 100% get that. So I'm sitting here legitimately torn. I don't know which direction they should go in. Again, I'm going to, you know what? I do know which direction they should go in because at the end of the day, you don't want to rush things, right? You don't want to rush things. There's a great story that you can tell here with Trick Williams and Ethan Page. This doesn't have to be a one and done. This doesn't have to be a one-time thing. They have the time to tell a full-on story here with Ethan and Trick. They really do. I'm going to go with Trick Williams retaining here. That's the direction I'm going to go with. Trick Williams retaining. And I feel like they can continue to tell a longer story here between both guys. And I'm saying this right now, I don't have too much confidence. I don't have too much confidence in how I'm feeling right now with what I think they're going to do. But screw it. I'm going to go with my gut once again and say that Trick Williams is somehow going to retain. And him getting a victory over Ethan Page, ooh, that's going to be good. It's going to be very good. Let's see what people say. If you guys got any other brilliant predictions, please, please let me know. All right, so let's see what we got here. Let's see what the people are saying. Man, there's a lot. Oh, and this goes back to what Matt Logan had said here, by the way. He said that you don't sign Ethan Page and then have him lose his first match. I get what you're saying there, my friend, but I'm just really, really torn on all of this. So let's see what we got here. This is from Dream Ninja 77, who says, OMG Grace, give HBK a chef hat for reals. John Deller says, did you notice Wendy Chu's face? Yes, I will circle back to that in just a second. Lawrence Ross says, hey, Denise, who would you like to see cross the line? Ha, ha, ha. Get it? Oh, I get it. Who would I like to see cross the line? My favorite person on TNA Wrestling is Josh Alexander. For those of you who watch the video, you guys know what my match would be for Josh Alexander in my fantasy booking video. I won't spoil it for those who want to watch it. But yes, it would be Josh Alexander. He would be the one that I would choose to cross the line so freaking fast. We got Jared here who says, I love that the girls run on NXT. Let the man have Raw and SmackDown. I'm not like the person that wants just like one gender on one show. I love to have a mix because that to me is true equality, is having both genders on the show. That to me is like what you need to do. But dang, I ain't gonna sit here and lie to you because the women are they're the draw of NXT for me on a weekly basis. But who knows? That can be sort of balancing itself out pretty soon with the incorporation of Ethan Page and hopefully some more guys on the NXT side. We'll see what happens. Thank you so much, Jared. We got Lawrence Ross here who says, six women tag ruled. Like how they mixed up the teams. Yeah, that was fun too. Let's talk about that as well. God, there's so much to get into on today's show. I'm like debating which direction I want to go into. And I might as well start with what Lawrence Ross here mentioned, which was the women, because that was another big part of the show. That's the match. That's the third match I'm most looking forward to for NXT Battleground, is to find out who is going to become the first ever Women's North American champion on NXT. They're going to be doing the ladder match. And we've been talking about this for weeks, so I won't get into all of that. But really, the big thing to talk about here, well, there was two things. There was the talking segment that they did. I thought this was fine. I thought that the talking segment that they did, because they did one just like this ahead of the Women's Iron Survivor Challenge, I thought that one was a lot stronger. I didn't think this one was as strong as the first one that they did. Mainly because I didn't think anybody said anything too spectacular. It was just more so of like, I'm going to win. No, I'm going to win. No, I'm going to win. And I was thinking, all right, we need some different verbiage here. We really do need some different lines here. No one in the promo specifically wowed me here. And I think that was the part that kind of, that was the only part I didn't care too much about. Because again, the last time they did this segment, they completely impressed me, and this time it was kind of just there, but whatever. I think probably the most interesting part was when Jada brought up that Lash Legend. All she cared about was Trick Williams, which, by the way, apparently she broke up with him on TV here because she wants to focus on what she's doing. And can I just say, Trick Williams, he's a gentleman, man. Lash Legend's out here breaking things off with him. Which, by the way, didn't even feel like they were legitimately together on the show, but whatever. She broke things off with him, and Trick Williams was like, all right, I understand. You've got your things you want to do, and I've got my things I need to handle. Oh, my God. That is exactly how you should respond in a breakup. Damn. you respond like that, suddenly the person that's doing the dumping is suddenly going to regret it and be like, oh, he handled that very nicely. I kind of want to get back with him. Pro tip to everybody, if you are being dumped, do not beg. Do not cry in front of them and do not beg or do not look needy. Do not call them. Be cool. Even if you're dying inside, just be cool. Be cool. Because next thing you know, they're going to come crawling back to you. Sometimes, not all the time. Sorry. Anyways, that's the love advice for today. So just Chuck Williams. He handled it very, very well. Anyways. They all brawled. This led to a six-woman tag. They had Kehlani, Lash Legend, and Fallon versus Meechan, Soruka, and Jada. And Soruka got the win for her team after she hit the Soul Snatcher on Lash Legend. And there's a part of me, by the way, that started kind of getting like a little bit of a feeling that Lash Legend might win this thing. I don't know if anybody else got this feeling, but I kind of did for a split second. I'm still sticking with Soruka. She's still my official pick, but they did give me like a, like if she were to win on Sunday, I would have been like, ah, I saw that coming, but I'm not. I'm going to stick with Soruka because I really do think that's the direction that they should go in with her. But anyways, Lawrence Ross, thank you so much for that super chat here. We got David Primero here who says, Ethan Page wins NXT title with the help from Josh Alexander for his former teammate from the North. Or he can win the title at NXT Heatwave in Canada. That's the thing, though. I wouldn't want to see Ethan Page. Well, I mean, he is a heel. So if he is going to win like that, that would probably make sense to have some help. But again, I don't think I would necessarily want to see. I mean, it would get a pop. It would get a reaction, of course. But would it totally make sense other than the fact that they were tag team partners? Yeah, but they haven't really. I mean, it's not like they were just tag team partners yesterday. You know what I'm saying? It's been a while since they were tag team partners. David Primero, thank you so much for the super chat, man. And I want to go back to what John Deller brought up here, which was Wendy Chu's face. So we've been getting these Wendy Chu little promos, or not even promos, this little vignettes. Not even vignettes, teasers, honestly. Of Wendy Chu putting her slippers on, turning on the light, she's snoring. It's just been little clips here and there. And today we got a longer one. And she opens the door, she's washing her face, and suddenly she splashes the face on her water, it breaks the mirror, and she's dark Wendy Chu. She's got dark makeup, dark lipstick. She's not looking like the cutesy Wendy Chu. She's no longer shopping at Claire's, she is now shopping at Hot Topic. I was very proud of that joke. I also tweeted that out. Retweeted if you liked it. Anyways, so she, I don't think that she's going back to what she was doing before, which was, what is it that she was calling herself? Mei Ying before. Sorry, guys, I'm having a brain fart here. But I kind of wanted to be something a little bit different than the Mei Ying stuff. Because I don't remember really being into it that much. So if we found like a new version of a dark side of Wendy Chu, but not exactly Mei Ying, I'm here to see what that new version can be. I don't want it to be the old version. So, and part of me is a little heartbroken. Not even gonna lie. Part of me is a little heartbroken because I did love the Wendy Chu character. But I do know that that character was really hard for a lot of people to take seriously. A lot of people could not take Wendy Chu seriously when she's out there in cute bunny slippers and, you know, she's looking so cute with her little teddy bear and her little onesie. They weren't taking her seriously that way. And so I feel like she had to make this change just so that people could take her seriously. Damn, but I did love the character of Wendy Chu. But I'm excited to see how she's presented now. How different is this going to be? How similar is it going to be to what she was doing before? What is going to go down here with Wendy Chu? And in a way, again, I do think that they needed it because they just weren't taking take her seriously, guys. There is people that saw that and were like, what the fuck is going on NXT 2.0? Like, that's so fucking weird. And so, yeah. And honestly, if one of my wrestling friends who did not watch NXT and just saw a quick Wendy Chu segment from when she's being all cutesy. And they said, what the fudge was this, Denise? I honestly wouldn't really have a good answer to give back to them. I would say, oh, she's cute, but when she gets into the ring, she handles business. That was my best way to describe Wendy Chu. But then again, it still kind of put people off with the character because it was just too cute. So you couldn't really buy her being a badass in the ring. So I do think that she needed to come back a little bit differently. So good for her. Brandon Rosenz says she can go back to her Karen Q character. Again, that wasn't something that wasn't feeling really much either. So I'm just, again, I hope they find a new version entirely to do here. So we'll see. Hunter says your manly voice impersonation, LMAO. Have you ever noticed that every woman, by the way, will do the exact same men's voice impersonation? All of them. And I remember, I forgot which comedian I was watching, because I watch so many comedians, but I was watching somebody and they had brought up that the same thing that I just said right now, that all women make the exact same male impersonation. If you don't believe me, pay close attention to that next time. Whenever you see a woman impersonating a man, I promise you she will do the exact same impersonation. It's like in our DNA. I don't know why. All right. Anyway, so moving on from here, that was, those are the two big stories of, or really the three biggest stories of NXT that we just covered. Actually, four. We just covered the four biggest stories of NXT. And let me tell you guys, if you want your story to be big, my friends, get Blue Chew, promo code Denise. Are you jobbing out in bed? Do you have dreams of main eventing in the sack? Well, have no fear. Blue Chew is here to help you become the champ. Soon you'll make your baby face comeback and get the finish. Blue Chew is the place to go for chewable versions of sildenafil, tadalafil, vardenafil. These ingredients help men achieve stronger, yeah, harder, yeah, and longer lasting erections for sexual activity. Woo! The chewable tablets help fight off all forms of ED, which can include performance anxiety and maintaining an erection long enough for sex. A Blue Chew subscription includes a free online consultation, 24/7 medical support, a prescription for chewable sildenafil, tadalafil, vardenafil, if approved, and discreet delivery straight to your door every month, all from the comfort of your own home at affordable prices. No more in-person doctor visits, no more waiting for appointments, and best of all, no more awkwardness. So what are you waiting for? Head on over to the description box of this video and click on the link and make sure to use the promo code Denise. Dominic Carranza's killing me here. He says, oh God, Denise, I just realized if Wendy Chu comes black in blue gear, she'd be Blue Chu. Please. All NXT gods out there, please. Come, please make this happen. If Wendy comes back in blue gear, it is happening, guys. She is going to be Blue Chew. I love it. I'm dead, guys. Please let that happen so that I can run with it and it can become the official joke to make, but we'll see. All right, moving on from this, let's go ahead and kind of rewind a little bit and get into Jasmine Nix versus Thea Hale. Oh my God, guys, I am kind of done. I don't even know where to begin with this anymore. I really don't. I'm so done with Chase University. I just don't care. And they're ruining the fun. And I'm just going to say it. They're holding my girl, Thea Hale, back. All right. I'm tired of seeing Thea Hale lose all of these matches when she's been so freaking impressive in the ring. I get it. Story progression. I get it. Wrestling 101, we're telling stories. I understand. But this story, I am done. I'm speeding through the pages. I just want to read the end, close the damn book, and start a new one. I'm done seeing Thea Hale lose for the silliest reasons. And it's always at the hands of one of the members of Chase University. And just when I was thinking, oh, we're cool. We're getting, we're starting to fade this out. Nope, we came back to it. And just when I thought, oh, there's nothing more that they can do with Chase U, they add a new person to it. And I'm just thinking to myself, they're really keeping this going. They want it to last long. If you want to last long, Blue Chew code Denise, by the way. Anyways, I'm sorry. I'm over this. So I'm going to speed through this. Riley and Duke say they're not going to go out there with Thea. Ridge Holland and Andre Chase do. During this match, Thea gets distracted because suddenly Riley and Duke come out to watch her match, even though they said they didn't. Jasmine ends up kicking her with a Pele kick and gets the win. And then Thea Hale is just standing there like, oh, what are we doing? I'm done with this story, guys. I'm done. We got Christopher Marino here who says, I hate this Thea Hale stuff. It's awful. The story sucks. I've been saying this. I've been saying this for months. What are they doing to my girl Thea? This story also kept her out of that NXT women's ladder match. Like, she was the person that I thought was going to be in that match. I feel at this point she should be in matches like that. This story is starting to hold her back. We need it to end at some point. I don't want Thea Hale to stop being Thea Hale, where she comes out and she's like all crazy and energetic, because I love that. I still want Thea Hale to be Thea Hale, but I want her to break away from Chase U. Done with Chase U. Brandon Rosen says, I agree. They should lose the Chase U goofballs. At this point, yes. Yes. Have her just be with Riley. I'm here for a love story. I love me some love stories. Or hell, they could be best friends. I don't care. Riley's the only person that I want to stay or somewhat still be intertwined with Thea Hale. That's the only person. And I don't even want to touch the Ridge Holland stuff. I've been so done with that. It's been a while. I'm moving on from that. Here's something that could turn into something interesting. So, Sean Spears and Javon Evans. Here's what's going down here. So, Sean Spears was supposed to face Josh Briggs, but then instead he attacks him during his entrance, hits him with a chair, and Javon Evans just happens to be back there, and he sees this, and he's like, nah, dude, what the heck? So he goes out and attacks Sean Spears. They fight out from backstage to the ring, and I actually thought that this was going to turn into a match. It didn't, though. He just hit him with the cutter, and then afterwards Sean Spears gets taken down, but it was never an actual matchup here. It felt like it for a second. I even thought, I was like, wait, did I forget that this was a match? But no, it wasn't. So I like this, though. I think that Sean Spears needs something interesting since he just got there. And Javon Evans has quickly won the hearts of lots of people. So we might as well keep this going. So we'll see where this goes from here on out. So for the first time ever on this show, everybody, mark this down. On June 4th, 8:09 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Denise Salcedo enjoyed a Heritage Cup match. I can't believe it, guys. Tony D versus Damon Kemp. I don't know why I had a good time with this, guys. Actually, I do know why. One, it wasn't that long. And two, they actually had some explosive moments during this match. This wasn't a boring matchup. And for once, I didn't feel like the Heritage Cup rules worked against them in the match. I enjoyed it. I had a good time. I don't know what it was, but maybe it was because I like Tony D and I like Damon Kemp. And so you got two guys I actually like on the show. Cool. I had a good time with this. You know what? Shout out to this Heritage Cup match. I finally became a fan for today. I don't know how I'll feel about it next week, but at least for today, I enjoyed what they did here. Also, I'm very confused. Why is Charlie Dempsey having an identity crisis? What is going on here? He's in the back talking to himself in the mirror saying, you talking to me? You talking to me? And he just keeps doing it over and over, the line from Taxi Driver. And he just keeps doing it. I think they're just trying to get him to show some personality, because that's been sort of the thing that's worked against him, is that he doesn't really have like a strong, like an overwhelming personality. You know, he's not like a Tony D type of character, right? So I feel like this is them trying to give him, trying to help him find something. They're trying to develop a character for Charlie Dempsey. So we'll see how this works out. I'm not even going to lie to you. I kind of laughed at this because I didn't know what was happening. And my favorite part was when Damon Kemp came in and he was like, you do realize we're all talking to each other in front of a mirror. It is really stupid, but it actually made me laugh. I don't know if I laughed just because it was silly or if I laughed because it was funny. I'm not even really sure, but it did get a chuckle out of me. So there you go. Thumbs up. We'll see what happens here. All right. So we also had a match between Izzy Dame and Natalya. Nothing much to say here. Natalya gets a quick win. And what was a quick match? Nothing really too much to say about the match. So I'm going to move on to the last and final thing we need to talk about. Oh, I really wish I wouldn't have saved this for the very end, but it is what it is. It's Gallus, my friends. Gallus comes out and cuts a promo. And you know what? I'm going to give Gallus a compliment today because I'm not a fan of Gallus, but right now they're making it work because they're heels. And they cut a promo that I found very, very irritating. And so for that reason, it worked because I did find it very irritating. They come out and they're basically shitting on the rest of the roster, right? Technically, they're kind of shitting on the women, to be honest. I didn't like that. So I think that's probably why I found it so irritating, because they were like, maybe if we cared about TikTok, if we had a million followers and selfies, and if we shook our ass or played another sport, maybe the WWE universe would respect us. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not the reason, guys. That is not the reason at all. And then they start saying how, like, they don't want to be social media influencers, but they want to be wrestlers. And I'm like, okay, the shaking the ass thing was about Lola Vice, right? Because she's always shaking her hips. Yet she's been kicking ass in the ring and she's in one of the biggest matches on NXT Battleground. Like, there's general interest in that for her. Okay, maybe if they played another sport. All right, these gymnasts a la Sol Ruka and all these other people, forget what sport everybody played. Yeah, they came from different sports, but damn, they're going out there, they're hustling, and they're doing really well. They're picking it up, man. All right. Had a million followers, took selfies. It's called building your brand. So I get what they were trying to do, but I also kind of hated it because I'm like, so you just don't care to build a brand or come up with something interesting, give people a reason to like you. And then they said, like, oh, they just want to be wrestlers. Great. Love that. There's a lot of people on the show who are just wrestlers and are entertaining, that are getting over, that people like. Of course, you got to have a little extra pizzazz. This is sports entertainment after all. So yeah, I did not care for this promo. I kind of felt like it felt like they were shitting on the women a little bit. And I don't think that's what they were intending. However, that's how it came across. And so I was sitting there going, But then again, I'm just not really a Gallus fan. So I think that that's probably the reason why I looked at it this way. So I might have came at it a little bit biased, but either way, Obafemi comes out. He quickly gets interrupted by Wesley. Gallus ends up taking both of them out. And we're still getting, of course, this triple threat match at NXT Battleground with Wesley, Obafemi, and Joe Coffey. And please, please let Obafemi retain, because this man, I want to see him do more. I'm still interested in Obafemi. There's still so many more matchups that can be coming up for him. So I do want to see that. In that video that I did with the NXT and TNA fantasy booking, a lot of people in the comments had some really great options for Obafemi. I will not spoil who I chose for Obafemi, but a lot of people want to see Obafemi versus a bunch of people. So some shout outs for Oba. And anyway, so that was sort of what we're getting from that. Now, Brandon Rosen says, the women are interesting. Gallus isn't. Simple. Women are killing it. All righty. Let's go ahead and continue on from here. I want to go over the comments, by the way, or not the comments, rather, the predictions for Battleground. We pretty much did them all already, but I just want to go over them really quickly. apparently I can't find. Here we go. Sorry about that, guys. I was trying to pull up the freaking Wikipedia page just so I can grab the matches. All right, really quickly, let's do this. Let's talk about overall predictions, even though we pretty much got them all. But the NXT Women's North American Championship match, still going with Sol Ruka. NXT North American Championship match, I'm going with Obafemi retaining. NXT Underground match, it should be Lola Vice. NXT Women's Championship match, Roxanne versus Jordynne Grace. We went through that a whole lot, but I'm sticking with Roxanne Perez as my gut pick. We still have the NXT Tag Team Championship match with Nathan Frazier and Axiom versus the OC. I'm thinking the OC is winning this. And then we have the NXT Championship match between Trick Williams and Ethan Page. I'm sticking with Trick Williams, although I am a little bit torn here, but I am officially sticking with Trick Williams. So those are the six matches taking place at Battleground, and I will be here on Sunday to talk about those matches. All right, guys. That is it. That is the NXT post show for today. As always, I want to thank you guys so much for coming in. There are so many streams coming up here on Wednesday. Tomorrow, I will be back with Righteous Reg. On Friday, I will be here with Robin for SmackDown Conversation. Saturday, I will be here for Collision. And then Sunday, I will be here for Battleground. And I'm hoping that this all works out because Thursday I am getting dental surgery. So hopefully Friday I can talk. They told me that it's going to take me 3 days, according to them, to like heal up. I didn't tell them what my job was, that I talk for a living. I hope that doesn't work against me, but I'm hoping that with 1 day's recovery from Thursday morning through Friday evening, I think I'll be okay by then. But either way, so if Friday I come in and I'm talking a little less, that's the reason why. But either way, there's lots happening. I have two interviews that are taking place this week. I'm hoping that they both drop this week. For sure, the NXT one will on Saturday. So also keep an eye out for that. And then right now, guys, head on over there. As soon as you're done here, head on over to the Fantasy Booking, the TNA NXT video. If you do, I'm going to be in the comments section literally right now. So head on over there and I will be hanging out in the comments section, responding to people and all of that good stuff. Thank you guys so much. And I will see you guys tomorrow. Bye, everyone.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
When I grow up, I'm going to be a veterinarian.
It's awesome.
And I'm going to be what you said we need more of.
So you want to be a plumber-narian?
Do you think I can?
I think that if you work really hard, you can be anything.
Promise?
You bet I do.
When you promise your kids the world, we're here to help you keep it. Ohio's 529 plan is the best tax-free savings plan for future college or career training nationwide. Start now at collegeadvantage.com.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
She said, get out the chat room and clean my
Glad stretch. Feeling fine, so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.